In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Wow, man, I keep forgetting, like, college football or college basketball started too. Like, that, Amy and I went out last night. We walked into a place and the Cougs are on TV. I'm like, the Cougs are playing Alabama tonight? What the hell's going on? What month is it right now? Duke lost last night. I normally feel like a tremor in the force when Duke loses, and I felt nothing last night. College basketball started up is weird. I'm just looking at the scoreboard on the screen in here. Football is here, though. Week 13 of the NFL season, Texans and Jags. Jags are 2-9. Jags are 3-14 since a win over the Texans in Week 12 last year at NRG Stadium. If you recall, that was the game where the backup, the Texans replacement kicker Matt Amendola boinked a 58-yard potential game-tying field goal off the crossbar. Jags went to 8-3 in that game. Texans fell to 6-5. It's funny, the Texans fell to 6-5 in that game, and I still feel like in the postgame, everybody was probably, even off a loss to the Jags, probably like, hey, but we're 6-5, and we're moving in the right direction. Texans are 7-5 right now, and you'd think that they were the biggest dumpster fire in the league based on how everybody feels because of the offense, but such is the nature of expectations. And such is the nature of being told that a problem is fixable, and it continues to not only not get fixed, but it gets worse. So hopefully it gets better this weekend. Things get better this weekend with the Jags. Seth, do the Jags do anything as well as the Titans play? We know the Titans are not a great team, but their interior off or defensive line is elite. It's really good with Jeffrey Simmons, Tavondre Sweat. The defense as a whole is very, very good. And that lined up perfectly for the Titans against what the Texans do very poorly, which is protect and open up holes with the interior of the offensive line. Is there anything the Jags do that should scare Texan fans? Maybe even some of the same stuff the Titans did, I would guess.
For one, Brian Thomas, the receiver, first and foremost, is nasty. And Trevor Lawrence hasn't been playing as bad as the team has been or the circumstances around him. But for the Texans, who still struggle at giving up deep shots, obviously, versus quarterbacks that connect with a good wide receiver, That's in a week where you're going in short a safety, because you lose Jalen Petrie, who wasn't technically a safety, but Jimmy Ward's going to take his spot. So you don't feel awesome about the safety position right now. Yeah, I think it's Brian Thomas on deep shots when somebody screws up in the secondary is probably what I worry about most in terms of just a fly in the ointment. In a matchup that on paper still looks like it should favor the Texans, that's a big deal.
And that was a game in Week 4. You recall the Texans game in Week 4. They played the Jags once already this year. Came down to a game-winning drive at the end. It's probably the last time that the Texans as a team in a crucial spot did something really good in the second half offensively, that game-winning drive where it culminated with the Daria Gumbawale touchdown. But if you recall in that game in Week 4, Seth, that was another one of those games early in the season where wide receivers were getting open on deep shots, and Brian Thomas was one of them, and the quarterback, in this case Trevor Lawrence, was just missing them. A lot like Anthony Richardson in Week 1, where A.D. Mitchell gets open a couple times, and he just overshoots him. Brian Thomas was getting open in that game against the Texans' DBs. Now, they're missing a couple of the guys that would normally draw some attention. Christian Kirk is out for the rest of the season. Gabe Davis, who was one of their free agency signings this offseason, out for the rest of the season. So at the wide receiver position, it is kind of a one-man show right now.
I think on the other side of the ball, when you look at the Jaguars, a horrible pass defense, respectable enough run defense, and I think their front seven Their defensive line and their linebackers are a respectable bunch, but the best players are probably the edge rushers, and Hines Allen, their best guy amongst them. I don't worry as much about defensive ends as I worry about defensive tackles. So I don't like this. This Jaguars defense doesn't have the same ability to attack the weakness of your offense, the interior offensive line, as well as the Titans could. And the Titans are a genuinely solid defense, I think. They just, the numbers don't all bear it out because their offense has been so bad. So it's not the same challenge, but it's not like, they're not as bad as, say, the Dallas Cowboys defense.
Right.
Yeah, this is certainly, and I think the line, what has the line gone down to?
It's down to five. It started at six. So
it started at six, so it's not moving wildly or anything.
No, no, and it's not moved through like a crucial number yet either, like three or anything like that. They get Campbell back, the cornerback who missed the first game. So that's a good, and they gave him a big extension this offseason. So that's a guy they're getting back in the secondary that'll make life a little more difficult for a quarterback who's had interception issues of late, CJ Stroud.
Yeah.
Here was Doug Peterson earlier this week, head coach of the Jags, talking about CJ Stroud and where he sees CJ Stroud among quarterbacks in the NFL.
Listen, this league, this business, playing the quarterback position is hard, right? Playing any position is hard. And he's an exceptional quarterback, good young quarterback in this league that the league needs. He's an exciting player. I don't know everything that goes on down there. You know, I'm sure there's been injury. You know, guys have missed. He's missed his playmakers from time to time. And then there's the film. There's the film out there. There's ways to, you know, what he's put on film, you know, the explosive plays, things of that nature. Defenses have time to scheme that, right? To play defense against it. So it's the natural progression, and he's going to continue to make his plays and lead that football team and continue to be a great player. And he's just going to continue to get better each and every game, each and every season. But I think one thing, and I don't know CJ, you know, personally, other than just talking to him when we play, but he knows that he's a piece of that offense, right? He's a piece of that team, and he's going to continue to improve and get better to help his team win, just like Trevor is here, or, you know, Josh Allen is here. You know, they're one piece to the big picture, to the whole pie.
I think the big thing with the Texans offense, it just looking at it from 35,000 foot, is that it's an offense that wants to tie the run game and the pass game together. Do all that. And that works out really, really well when guys are actually performing and can do the things you're asking them to do. But they can't run the ball. They just haven't been able to all year, including in games in which Joe Mixon ran for over 100 yards. The Patriots game, Joe Mixon had one huge run. And Damian Pierce had one huge run. The sum total on the rest of the carries, there were less than 2 yards per carry in that game. So when you go against good teams, where, hey, even if you break a long run or something, down in and down out, you can't run the football. And when I watched the Titans play against the Texans, you could see, wow, that defense knows that the Texans cannot run the football. Their linebackers do not give a single damn about your play action. Like, they're not going to bite on anything because they can handle it with one hand tied behind their back. And they did. And a lot of the things that Bobby wants to do, because they cannot run the football against good run defenses especially, and sometimes even against bad ones with any kind of consistency, it throws a gum into the entire system. And it's kind of like this isn't even fair to the Rockets to bring this up, but like when the Rockets are really good offensively, but, you know, they rely heavily on threes, they go against a good team like the Spurs in the playoffs, and the Spurs get over the course of a 7-game series, like, all right, hey, we know what we got to take care of. We can take care of the threes, and we got to take care of the plays at the rim, and we don't worry about anything else. Teams are approaching the Texans in a way where the Texans are not as good as the Rockets' offense was by a long shot, but teams have that same mentality. Like, all right, we know what they can hurt us with, and we know what they can't, and we're just going to go ahead and take care of it. Good luck running the ball. I mean, the entire first half of the season was, oh, just see, these guys are playing a lot of cover too.
Yeah.
Huh? Who'd have thunk it? Yeah. Oh, I guess we should try to run the ball. Oh, it's hard to run the football.
It was
hey, what the hell?
It was wild watching some of the all-22 snippets that got put out there from the Titans game of some of the run plays for the Texans and the linebackers for the Titans. Like, not even bothering, like, flowing with the direction of the
play. They're just sitting back waiting for the cutback.
They're waiting in the cutback lane.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Joe Mixon cutting back, like, hey, buddy, fancy meeting you here, right here in this little cutback lane.
It's like when you're dating a crazy woman, and she leaves, but you know she's going to come back. You know, you're like, fine, go out, go do whatever. You'll be back.
You'll be back. In the cutback lane.
That's what the Titans were dating a crazy gal. They're like, all right.
Named Josephine, like, right, Josephine Mixon, crazy gal.
Waiting
yeah.
for you, and I'll emotionally abuse you when you get back here. Yeah, that's a whole, it's a big old dysfunctional thing going on last week.
I felt so bad for Mixon, man. I felt so bad for him. We're still getting a lot of texts from people. Our question a little bit earlier, if you're a Texan fan who's upset right now with the team, when was the honeymoon over for you? What was the moment or maybe collection of moments, maybe a window of the season where the relationship with you and the Texans became a whole lot more complicated and anger-driven? This is the first one I've seen of this. Mine was the pounding that the O-line took in the Green Bay game, and I would say the pounding CJ took because of the O-line. I'll add to that. It felt the same as the Astros early in the season watching our bullpen suck, and guess what happened when the postseason rolled around?
You know, the big thing about the Green Bay game that was really frustrating was how many miscommunications there were in pass protection. There were two instances in that game where Laremy and or Titus clearly thought that they and the running back in pass protection were handling one player while somebody else ran free. You know, there's a clear miscommunication about what they were looking for in protection. I think they've actually improved in that regard. Maybe part of it just because Patterson started playing center, so maybe the calls are a little crisper and more accurate or on time, whatever it might be. So they've improved in that regard. But you still have, round about the same time when they started figuring the calls out a little bit, a lot of teams, especially the ones with really good defensive tackles, realize, like, oh, why bother with a blitz when we've got Quinnen Williams on Kenyon Green or Kendrick Green, or then the next week we've got whomever on Juice Scruggs? Like, we're just gonna go right up the gut on him.
Yeah, no, Quinnen Williams becomes a one man blitz in that scenario right there.
Right,
He runs right past the person. Have you seen that? It looks like Titus Howard has either a family member or a burner account that's been vociferously defending him on Twitter over the last week or so.
I've been trying to stay off social media more, so I catch little snippets and then I step away.
Yeah.
And I saw that there was drama between you and some guy that was angrily defending Titus Howard.
Angrily defending
and
Titus.
He's from Alabama, this guy.
I didn't look at the bio to see where they're from.
I thought he was from Alabama, which is where Titus Howard went to school.
Yeah, Alabama State.
Alabama?
Yeah, he went to Alabama State. Yeah, he's from Alabama. And so, I've been told that it might
I stepped away.
Yeah. That it might be a family member. That particular person, whoever it is, there's some people speculating that it's Titus with a burner or whatever, because Titus, he got off of Twitter, which is probably
smart.
Yeah, smart, I would say. Whoever it is, like, I don't have them bookmarked or anything like that. I didn't follow them, certainly. It's Tyran, T-Y-R-A-N, then with some numbers after it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no indication that they're a family member of Titus Howard, other than the, like, 90% of their tweets are defending Titus Howard on X.
This is the thing is, these days, whenever I see something that looks like it could be a burner account, I assume it's somebody who's created something that looks like
account. Yeah.
Yeah, because people do this all the time. Look, this is obviously a burner account for such and such. I feel like more times than not, that's actually somebody who wants to make that person. It's somebody that, like, wants to make it look like Titus Howard has a burner account.
Yeah, let's say it's a family member. If it's Titus with a burner account, then he obviously there's issues there. Just get back on your regular account and do what you used to do. If it's a family member defending him, I don't have a big issue with it. Like, I think some of the reasons they came after me with about my opinions, because I retweeted a couple plays that Titus struggled on. Like, Titus is a fairly infuriating player for me this year. He's not having a good season. I don't like the interviews he does after games. His version of accountability is not really the version that I would deploy if I were him. You know, we were the better team. We should have won the game. The game slipped away. He said that against the Jets, where they clearly were not the better team. So I don't have a problem with them defending him, but, like, the whoever it is, him or her, was coming at me with the "you never played," you know, like, "you never played" thing. And you're probably trash on the radio too. And I'm like, all right, well, you're not the first person to say that either.
Right,
I've got nice callous skin on the "you're trash on the radio" thing. You can't get me with that one.
Well, plus if he says probably too, yeah. That's a whole, like I could if probably is in the realm of insults now, then boy, I'm excited.
Oh yeah,
I lob all kinds of probably.
Appreciate you taking your foot off the gas a little bit. Most people tell me I'm definitely trash on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
That you're leaving it open that I might not be trash on the radio is really kind of you, sir or ma'am, whoever you may be. I saw that man, whoever it is, just coming and just swinging away like Jon Snow standing there, well, Seth, with the sword in his hand,
yeah,
and all of Ramsay's army coming at him there, that meme, and they're ready to defend Titus Howard.
I do that. The thing is that Titus and Laramie they're fine. You know, like they're not, if you had five guys playing like them, you wouldn't have an atrocious offensive line. I think it's the sum total of everything where they're fine, but they're not better than fine. Laramie's very, very good in pass protection. Very good. But we're talking about an entire football game here. You know, and we're not talking about, hey, how are you good at one aspect of the game?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, he's sometimes okay as a run block, other times like looks like an adolescent being handled by an adult as a run blocker.
Yeah.
So neither one of them are Trent Williams.
Here's the problem. Okay, I'm glad you brought up Trent Williams. That's a good one. Or watch anybody on the Detroit Lions offensive line. The problem for the Texans is that that those two, while they are fine as tackles, getting paid a lot of money to be just fine
the
as tackles.
The standard isn't fine, right. Yeah.
Right. Well, and the standard from the tone, they're the tone setters of that room.
Mm-hmm.
And they do not set a tone of violence and viciousness like the good teams, like Trent Williams in San Francisco, or name a guy that's, you know, Penei Sewell or Ragnow or whoever on the offensive line in Detroit. There's any number of other offensive lines we could go through where the viciousness factor is much, much higher than the Tunsil and Howard-led Texans line.
Think of Penei Sewell. Think of Penei Sewell. Who's why is Penei Sewell better than Laramie Tunsil or Titus Howard? Penei Sewell had a couple of really rough snaps versus the Texans.
Yeah.
He let up more pressures in that game than he had previously the entire season.
Yep.
He had some ugly snaps versus guys like Danielle Hunter. And yet, he also had plays in the run game or on screens where Collinsworth was annoyingly yet appropriately gushing about Penei Sewell.
Mm-hmm.
He's just in a different caliber. He's in a different weight class. Trent Williams, Penei Sewell, those guys are in a different weight class than anything close to what the Texans could hope to be at offensive.
Yes, level. Well put. Well put. All right, you can continue to text in here in the 9 o'clock hour, 5 hour Energy Fan Line. 5 hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans. Up next, did D'Amico Ryans give us a window into exactly how long Jalen Petrie is going to be out? And one move each AFC team should have made in the offseason. Which one is I've not looked at this yet. I'm going to try to guess which one is the move the Texans should have made. We will get to that coming up next.